I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, roux. One of the more dominant techniques that began to show up in the kitchens of the 17th century was roux. Seldom has a technique undergone such a transformation in opinion amongst chefs and dedicated home cooks. Before roux, the common thickening agent used to give sauce body was toasted crumbled bread or crushed almonds. But roux, known as farine frite or fried flour, began to replace this. The term roux comes from the French word for reddish, which indicates that white roux was a later development. I adopted a sophomore scorn, and of course I was beset with a little knowledge is a dangerous thing in the dawn of the 1980s, trotting around in my first set of chef's clogs, brandishing my coveted Henkel's knife, but I had some good reason all the same. I had grim memories of the woolier years of traveling around the country and working in American restaurants where a pot of roux was eternally at the ready on the shelf over the stove. The whisk would be stuck in a kind of slurry mixture, a pool of grease settling above the sludgy mess. The so-called chefs would fix gravies and soups with what was actually a mock roux they made hastily with flour and not butter, too expensive, but some cheap, commercially produced frying oil. It could tighten up a gravy all right, but it smelled awful as far as I was concerned. But they were not asking my opinion back then. Times changed for the better. A new American cuisine was coming into being, and I was making my way up the kitchen ladders. And just as I was getting used to celebrating our coast-to-coast success, I was suddenly kind of crushed. I read of one of my culinary gurus, Jeremiah Tower of the Hallowed Stars restaurant in San Francisco, using a roux. Scandal! Momentarily feeling betrayed, I tried his recipe. After all, he was a giant, and I needed to pay heed. And then I saw Chef Tower's point. Recipes made in the more nouvelle style typically called for a reduction of massive amounts of heavy cream to attain the texture easily attained with a modicum of roux. Properly made with flour cooked with real butter for an appropriate length of time, roux was more digestible and lighter. Voila! The city and the cuisine that took roux through the roof was and remains New Orleans. By the mid-1980s, we were all learning about the four or five stages of roux technique mastery as taught most famously by the great Paul Prudhomme. I went through an entire winter of making gumbos while working in Illinois. There is a moment I still find exciting when making a proper gumbo. It's when you've reached about the 20th minute of cooking that roux and your arm is close to falling off from whisking. The temperature of that butter and flour is reaching napalm level, and then you hurl the prepared holy trinity of Cajun and Creole cooking, bell peppers, onions, and celery, into the roux, and it practically sparks. The smell is magical. As early as the 1830s, the battle against roux started. The great French chef Marie-Antoine Carême came to its defense against these ignorant men, saying roux was as indispensable to cooks as ink is to writers. But just as a poor scribbler cannot produce a masterpiece simply by dipping his pen into that black liquid, a sauce is not necessarily improved if the roux is made with insufficient care. Touché, monsieur. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.